Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, October 20th, 2018, you are listening to the PW Torch Livecast, and when it's Saturdays at 6 p.m., it's also known as the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. Joining you today from a rainy Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we are going to be joined by my co-host, Brandon Carr, the Wise Old Serious Pod, and we're going to be talking to you, so if you are so inclined, give us a ring at area code 515-605-9345, that's 515-605-9345. Additionally, if the phone's not the thing for you, always feel like you can give us a chat via the email, which is pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. So, now that I've given you all the pertinent, I'm also going to give you some time to chat with my new co-host for the week, and you recognize him for some of his previous appearances. Brandon, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
What's up, Rich? It's good to be back. You might hear a little bit of screeching in the background. I just got a puppy, and she's acting crazy today, so don't mind that. But what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying the week that is so far. And I'm chilling. Like, I had a football game didn't go our way this week, but it's at that time of year where you're tired, the kids are tired, everybody's just like, we're not going to the playoffs, let's kind of get some space, chill. And so on that front, I got that. But then on the other side, now that my son's old enough, he's into hockey, in addition to watching wrestling. So it's just, I'm just trying to stay out of the way and play daddy daycare as my wife sees the schedule. You know, our calendar, our shared calendar says no more football games. So that means Saturdays, in addition to the Deep Dive, also means that I'll be up pretty early going to some hockey games while she gets to sleep in.
How's it feel to be Bills free for the season?
Really
good. It is like it's like I gave up on a troubled friend that kept letting you down, and now you don't have to worry about those calls at 3 a.m. that they like stole your car and also drove it off a bridge. I can watch football games, and I'm like, oh yeah, like I forgot that like most of the NFC West receivers used to be Bills, and I remember at the time defending them vociferously, but people were like, you know, they don't have it and they can't do it and all this other silliness. So now it's really interesting to like just watch good games and to live vicariously through those. Like, I'm a big Andy Reid fan from a coaching standpoint, so I'll watch every Chiefs game. I love what the Rams are doing, so I'll watch the Rams. Steelers or the hometown team, but or my wife's hometown team, but I'll watch them, but it's not like I live and die by them. And so I'll get into arguments with folks about, like, yeah, man, Le'Veon Bell really needs to just suck it up and come back. And I was like, well, would you ever in any job go to that job because you need to be paid less than what you're worth? Which we'll get to a little bit with wrestling, but, like, that's wild to me.
It's very wild, and it's very pertinent to wrestling because a lot of times fans in their real life, they're pro, like, worker. But whenever it comes to, like, professional sports, whether it's pro wrestling or football, basketball, et cetera, they're always, like, pro-business, pro-owner. They're always, like, the players need to show up and play. They shouldn't demand more money. They shouldn't hold out. And I'm very extreme with that. I got in a conversation with one of my staff members last week. We were talking about sports, and I was talking to him about how un-American a draft is. He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, can you imagine, like, in your field that, like, when you get out of college, all the businesses line up that's, like, being an accountant, and you don't need to pick which one you go to. They pick which one you go to, and then you go be an accountant there. And if you're really good, you go to the worst business, and you go to the company that has the worst books that you got to try to fix because you're the best. Like, that would be ridiculous. But in sports, we look at that and we're like, oh, yeah, that's the normal. That's normal. That's cool. When it's, like, actually crazy.
Oh, yeah. And
one of the things that kind of took me down the road where I knew it was kind of going to be over for me was obviously the stuff with Josh Allen and his idiocy, blatant racism, protection of fans, all that crazy. But also the way people would talk, and this is really wide. I don't want to say this is just so about the idea about the fungibility of a running back. Like, oh man, I can't wait to keep this guy on a rookie contract. But I'm not gonna. I don't want them to sign him to that big money because it's gonna save money on the cap. So again, to your point, it's like, all right, so you're going pro management and saying that you don't want to pay someone what they're worth, giving you 4, 5, or even 6 years worth of a resume. And you're willing to let that person get the crap beat out of them for the sake of you saving, not even you, your team saving money.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild, man. It's wild. It is something that still blows my mind. And it carries into wrestling. I just saw, and heck, I could do a deep dive on this. We might do the first part of it just on this stuff, too, because it's a great way to, like, get the show started. Oliver Luck, who's going to be the commissioner for Vince McMahon's XFL, floated the idea that he would like to have fans have the option, kind of like Wrestle Circus did with Twitch, to tip views in Venmo players who are outstanding during a given week.
So they're already going to be
cool paying them like $100,000 a year. But if you think they go above and beyond that week, you could throw them a couple of coins.
It's like, isn't it in like Lucha where they throw the money in the ring?
Yeah.
Like after the matches, like that, but only, you know, with football. That's very interesting. Like, I thought they were going to take the XFL serious this time.
I guess they aren't.
I mean, that's wild to me that they're thinking of pulling that off. You're putting yourself in a situation where
that can't be good.
Like, I joked with a friend. One week, you might have this dude who's going to be like the try-hard all-star that everybody gives all these bonuses to. And, like, let's say, just to be silly, he gets like a $10,000 tip from all of the money people send on Venmo. The very next week, he misses one tackle. This guy's overpaid. I want some of my money back.
I can imagine that. And also, I would like to say that I was kind of against the XFL from the start when I heard it was coming back because of that interview Vince did when he was talking about Kaepernick and all that stuff. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way when he was talking about playing football the right way and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you got to stand for the flag.
I'm sure he'll have a thing like during every national anthem. You're getting Eagles flown overhead. You're getting National Guard, Air Force, Space Force.
Yeah, definitely. All of that. But the other thing is, I think there is a space for a minor league football. Like, I just saw an article this week that, like, the G League is offering high school 18-year-olds up to $125,000 to, instead of doing one and done in college, you can go play that. I mean, go to the G League and do that, which I don't think a lot of them are going to do because, one, you know, they're already getting that much money to go to college. And two, here's the thing. College is unfair to the athletes in general because the overwhelming majority of them don't make it to the pros. However, the ones that are like the big, big stars, dude, their first semester, they only got to be in class for one semester. Their first year of college is just nothing but fun. You take the easiest classes possible for your first semester. You hang out, you go on dates, you go to parties, and then you go play basketball, play football. Like, that's it. I mean, not football, but basketball players. You go play basketball. That's it. Like, that's a decent life. A lot of people are not going to give that up to go ride in buses in some small town in Iowa for a year. But I do think that it's a good start to try to push, especially with this trial going on about the NCAA, with all this stuff coming out about how corrupt it is. Like, I think that having a minor league option in all these sports, similar to baseball, is actually a good thing for the overall health of the leagues.
And that comes into something like this is a great, like, sports and its intersection with what Vince McMahon likes to dub sports entertainment, but I like to dub the second W in his WWE wrestling, You had that with the $100,000 for the G League. And then I don't know if you saw the tweet from one of the WNBA players who said that equals what their max salary is. Like,
oh, no, no, it's more. So they were paying $125,000. The max salary in the WNBA is $100,000.
Oh, that's even worse. So she was like, you know, we might could have some people hop in that G League and see what's popping, asking for a friend.
And so you think about all these things we've talked about
in the last few minutes. Just put a shine light on the WWE, and let's take Saudi Arabia off the table, which we will get back to. Don't worry, folks. But think about how much money the wrestlers get as a percentage of revenue compared to any other sport. It's like somewhere between like 3 to 7%.
Yeah, like NBA players get 50%. Think about that.
Yeah.
Football players get like 35%, which is why they're fighting so much, because that's why so many of them are jealous of the NBA players, and rightfully so. But they get like 35-37%, something like that. But yeah, that's either one of those is nothing close to what the wrestlers get, not even a snippet. And not to mention, you don't get any of the benefits.
Right.
And then don't even get started with
baseball, because then people are going to fall out.
As far as the benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Benefits and all that fun stuff.
Baseball is ridiculous. But that's the thing. Now, there's really no excuse for the WWE. Like, there hasn't been an excuse for a long time. But they're still operating on this. It's funny that Vince McMahon wants to just jump away from pro wrestling and brand his whole sports entertainment thing. But he runs the business, at least the wrestler side, a lot like old school wrestling. Like, he still pays people based on the house, sometimes on house shows. And, like, we should be past it. Like, these dudes should have salaries. They should have signing bonuses based on how good they are. Like, they should be paid, they should get benefits, they should get pensions if they wrestle a certain amount of years. Like, the WWE is a big multinational, billions and billions of dollar corporation. They can afford to do all those things.
I agree completely, and I think we're going to hit this a little bit more, but I'm going to hit the first break. So when we come back, Brandon and I are going to talk about that intersectionality of sports, money, and wrestling. We're going to talk a little evolution. We're going to talk a little Big Dave. And most importantly, we're going to talk to you. So if you've called in at 515-605-9345, that's 515-605-9345. Make sure you hit one on the touchtone phone so that way we know you want to talk to us, because we certainly want to talk to you. And we'll do that when we come back on the Deep Dive.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
Welcome back to the deep dive with Rich and Brandon. We are talking sports, wrestling, the world in between, and the world that they intersect. And like I said before we call, Brandon, before we go back to that question of Big Dave, evolution, and all the other fun stuff we were just talking about money-wise, why don't you take a pause. Why don't you tell them a little bit about your show, what you do, and all the awesome people you work with to make it get done.
Yeah, so we do a weekly show that covers all the news in TV shows, comic books, movies, all that jazz. Just talking about the different news stories and the big stories of the week and those things. We also do reviews for TV shows and movies. So I'm a film critic, but I've skipped a ton of trailers the last month or so. Been real busy with work. I mean, trailers, a bunch of screeners. So I need to catch up on that, but I do reviews. We do TV show reviews. This season we're doing The Gifted. We're doing Black Lightning. and we're doing one more, but we haven't decided what it's going to be yet. And then we do some random shows on different topics, either like a comic book show or a TV show, like in the past, or some special topic that's going on in entertainment. We handle those things. In 2 weeks, we have Cam from the East Coast Cast, my man Cam, coming on after the Evolution pay-per-view to talk some pro wrestling and other stuff as well. So we pretty much cover the whole gamut on the show.
Awesome. And so going back to our question, we talked about the money. How do you get that boat? Like, how do you get people to realize that, especially in a situation where there's only one horse in town?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
How do you get the wrestlers to kind of figure out what we were talking about as far as, like, what you really should be getting as far as a percentage of the income? And who's going to actually push it? When D-Palm was on a few, like a month and a half ago, I mentioned the idea of that would be something Roman Reigns could put his weight behind and get not only, you know, if he already has the respect of the people in the back, but get the respect of kind of the people who read and kind of think of him just kind of as like the golden boy, but that's messing with his money potentially.
Well, the problem with that is I don't think any single wrestler in today's world can do that because the business has become such an ensemble thing, at least in the terms of the WWE. It's an ensemble group. They market the brand, not the stars. And so if Roman Reigns did that, I could see Vince McMahon just being like, nope, we're going with Braun Strowman. Sorry, Roman, you messed up your money. And he just goes to Braun Strowman, and the beat keeps going, the people are going to keep showing up, and everything's going to be the same. If this was going to happen, it would have needed to happen. It could still happen, but in the past, if you were going to do a big star, it was going to need to be like a big game-changing star. Stone Cold would have had to say something in 1999 or 2000, The Rock in 2001, John Cena in 2005 or 2006, or Hogan, especially Hogan back in the 80s. He really could have changed everything back when the business was really focused on one star. And basically, they just could have said, you know, I'm not doing this until, you know, you take care of us. But now, if Roman Reigns did that, I could just see Vince going, all right, we're going with Braun. And Braun steps up and he takes the top spot. It's going to have to be a collective effort. Like, all the boys and the women in the back are going to have to get together and be like, this is not cool. So if this is SummerSlam or WrestleMania, or if it was me, it would be that first SmackDown on Fox, the first show when they go to Fox or SmackDown, because I know it's public knowledge how much money they're getting for that. That first SmackDown on Fox, everybody in the back, I'd be like, we're not going out there. Like, you're going to have to give us these demands, and we're going to have to come to the table and talk about these things, or we're not going out here for this first show. And WWE can't have that, and that would really force their hand to make some type of change.
Awesome. So are you ready for our first caller? Because we have a couple of folks lined up.
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. I'm going to start with one of my favorite callers, a man who requires no introduction. He always does his homework. Kylan, welcome to the deep dive.
Thank you, Rich. How are you and Brandon doing this week?
I'm great, man. What's up, Kylan?
Not much, y'all. First off, I would like to do something that you've probably never heard me do on any show that I have participated in over my 6.5 years as a contributor here at Torch, but I would like to issue a little bit of a rant on Crown Jewel as to why, in my opinion, it should not happen.
Hey, speak on it.
In my personal opinion, Crown Jewel should not happen because, and I don't know if Vince McMahon, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon realize this, but the Saudi Arabian government has now openly murdered a United States journalist for probably the second most reputable newspaper in this country. Now, I realize that I'm fortunate enough to have a few friends in the WWE, current and past, so I might get in some kind of trouble for saying this, but I think it's a shame that Vince McMahon is so greedy for money that he's willing to do business with open murderers.
No, I mean, you're not wrong, Kylan, and that's one thing I wanted to talk about today, because tying into what Brandon and I were talking about in terms of money,
how do you not pay your wrestlers
to a level similar to like NBA, NFL, etc., but then also take such a huge windfall from this experience that they themselves will not partake in?
Yeah, and on top of all of that, It's basically a slap in the face to people, because like I'm one of the people that's like, I hear so many people when they did a charity segment on the shows and they get upset, and I'm just like, I get it, all right, but you know, in today, like in marketing, like I just got done my MBA a year and a half ago, and part of marketing now is charity, like. Doing charity is a form of marketing now. They actually teach that. Like, they teach that as a, they call it like good profit and different types of things like that. And not that I agree with that 100%, that's kind of ridiculous in some ways, but like those people that are getting the charity are still happy to get the charity. And at the end of the day, like, they're still getting something. So I don't beat them up as much as others do for bragging about it, only because that's just the world that we live in today. However, when you do all those things, you open yourself up to the criticism of people judging you as someone who's supposed to be philanthropic. So if that's who you're going to market yourself as, then you can't be out here taking blood money from the Saudis. Like, you can't be out here doing that. And even more than that, when it gets thrown into your face like this has, they were just hoping that they would smoothly go along, that the Saudis were, you know, you heard all the news. Well, they're starting to let women drive. And, you know, the propaganda that was coming out of Saudi Arabia. Like, and so WWE thought they could ride that wave and they would be good. But if they paid attention to history, they would know that this, something like this was bound to happen during the course of their deal. So they had to be ready for this. And now that it's in their face and they have to deal with it, they just hope that it's going to go away. And quite frankly, I think we live in such a small space. I say this all the time on Twitter. Like, I have a good amount of followers on Twitter, but it's still small in comparison to, like, the whole world. Like, really, 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 really tiny. So you get into this echo chamber of hearing things, and you start to think that this is the worldview of people and how they view these topics. When in reality, I don't think the overwhelming majority of people who tune in to Raw and SmackDown every week actually care. And I think, and you may see some boos like you saw in D.C., but that was in D.C., and the people that go to a show are typically more hardcore, at least a TV taping, than you would see at the house shows and stuff. And the people are still showing up at house shows, and they're still getting their 2.5 million viewers every week. The overwhelming majority of those people don't care. And you know that because if you look at, I don't want to get too deep into politics, but if you look into politics, people don't care. Like, there was a congressman in Montana that beat up a journalist the day before an election, and he got elected. And then the president went to campaign for him and basically praised him for beating up the journalist. So I don't think that this idea, I don't think that these things that the majority of people care about, unfortunately. So WWE is just making a calculation that, yeah, there's going to be some vocal people against it, but at the end of the day, is this going to hurt our bottom line? And it's not, unfortunately.
Yeah. Very, very sad. Now, I do realize that some of us have to cover and talk about Crown Jewel, though, so I probably will watch it because we need to talk about it, but it's still disgusting to me that I have to be part of a show sponsored by a government that murders the citizens of this wonderful country.
I will be perfectly honest with you both.
I don't even think
I told the boss man about it. I won't be watching Crown Jewel.
I'll watch the matches
I want to watch via alternative methods.
But it will not be officially through the WWE.
Nor will I feel bad for a second about it.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. And to be frank, the only reason people are watching, because the last show was basically a glorified house show. It's not like it's this big thing. People just want to see Shawn Michaels. And so they do that, and that kind of makes me even more mad, because then they go, we know we have this controversial show, but we're going to play on our fans' emotions for one of their favorite wrestlers coming out of retirement to get them to watch the show that they may not otherwise watch. So if you're just strictly business, like if that's all you care about is the bottom line, you may go, well, you know, that's brilliant. Like they took a negative and tried to make it as positive as possible. But when you portray yourself in the way that WWE portrays themselves in caring about the WWE universe and blah, 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 that's kind of a like crappy way to treat people.
It is. So my question for this week, or at least one of them, if you decide you have time for an additional one, is what with the information that I sent you earlier today regarding the potential for a new possible promotion, Rich, where do you see the overall health of the wrestling business being in 2019 and beyond?
Well, first, we're going to have time for a second question,
so don't worry about that.
I'll defer to Brandon
for this question first, and then I'll hop in.
That's a really good question, Kyler, because in one way, like the pro wrestling industry is as healthy as it's ever been. If you're looking at it from a talent base and match quality, New Japan is getting some footing in the United States. Ring of Honor is still doing their thing, selling out MSG. Some of these independent groups, PWG and others, are having popular shows and selling out their videos as soon as they come out. But in another way, pro wrestling is, and I hear Jim Cornette say this all the time, it's as least popular as it's ever been. If you think about in the 80s, they'd have every week on all these different cities, territories across the country, you'd have 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 seat buildings sold out weekly all across the country every week. And people tuning in at ridiculous rates and locally watching the shows. Now, part of that is, and when I hear people talk about ratings, even when they compare it to like the Attitude Era in the early 2000s, is the variety of stuff on television. So in 1985, you didn't have Game of Thrones. So you didn't have like The Flash and all these different shows from all these different types of genres to grab people. So people navigated to things of common interest. So they watch football, they watch baseball, they watch wrestling. And they watch the news, and they watch Andy Griffin and stuff like that, right? But now you have such a wide variety of things on television that I don't think it's possible for wrestling to get the ratings. Like, I hear people talk about, well, you need a big star to come out. If The Rock and Stone Cold in their prime came out today, would the ratings be better? Yes. Would they be pulling sixes and sevens like they did in the Attitude Era? I don't think that's possible today. even with The Rock and Stone Cold in their prime. I just don't think, with all the other things on television, that that would happen. So the idea of a big promotion coming to challenge the WWE, I don't think that that's likely to happen or could even succeed unless there's just some ridiculously rich group of people who decide their one goal is to challenge Vince McMahon, right? And that they just want to take down Vince McMahon. Then yeah, maybe. But even then, there's so much baked in with the audience of WWE being the main event in the major leagues that it would take a good while for that to even happen. But I do think there's space for other wrestling companies to get on TV and carve out their own areas. But I don't think there's a chance in the immediate future of anybody challenging WWE.
And for me, I think that, as Kyle mentioned, there's a rumor right now that Jim Ross and Jericho are teaming up with the current owner of the Jags and having his own wrestling promotion. And that's a billionaire Big B going up against Vince McMahon. And if they teamed up with Mark Cuban, allegedly, and kind of carried that over the top, everything's very fluid right now, so I don't want to speak with definitive on anything. But if that were to happen, I think that would be a good place for wrestlers, and especially if a team like the Bucks or the Bucks and Cody and Omega were to have, like, base their operations out of there and have a lot of creative control and input. And that would be a really cool place to see develop. But here's my thing. And no disrespect to the Hall of Fame legend and the voice of my youth in the terms of JR. Listening to him when he does the Access shows, he's kind of sick of the flippy floppy. So what would him, like if he were allegedly to be the head of talent relations, what would he look for? And would it be the 1998 template for a superstar or the 2018-2019 template?
I think overall from a
health standpoint, wrestling, and I want to do this with Brandon, either Brandon Thurston, Howard, or Chris Harrington at some point. When I met them at All In, we talked about the idea of, in addition to the WWE making a crap load of money, think about all of the pivot share has become what we thought.
My brain stopped working. The pro wrestling streaming service that failed.
Flow Slam.
We thought Flow Slam was going to be the bomb. Whereas in actuality, Pivot Share, by way of Demand Progress, Powerbomb TV, et al., has become the go-to place for streaming wrestling outside of the WWE.
Yeah, and what you brought about Jim Ross is a very good point, because I listened to The Observer, and I've been following along with, like, the old Attitude shows with the Brian and Benny show, and hearing Jim Ross on those calls and then hearing him today, it's not the same dude. It's just not the same dude. Now, from a talent relations part, it's very interesting that you brought that up, because I remember when he first got the New Japan gig, he was studying for New Japan, and he came on Wade's show, and he talked about how much he loved Shinsuke Nakamura and how great he was. And I was like, well, okay, so JR still has that eye, like, because he's like, this dude would be great in America, and hopefully he'll come to WWE one day and all this. But then you do hear him, and it's basically like he's watching these shows, and they're doing all these moves, and it's just not the wrestling he grew up with. He's not Jim Cornette, but you can tell there's a little bit of like, this is a little bit too much. And if we're being, like, if you're going to ask me, my whole thing with the new form of wrestling is I love these matches. I just don't think it's good for their bodies. Like, I honestly just think they need to dial it back on some of these smaller shows, because if your idea is to make it to the big time, then you don't want to break your body down at 23, 24, 25, 26 years old. But also, a lot of them are doing it just for the art. And that's cool, too. And I don't particularly knock them for that like other people do. But I do, when I go back and watch old wrestling shows, as somebody who's not that old, I'm like in my early 30s, I do see that there is a difference in the matches that do a bunch of moves and in the matches that tell stories. And what I like today, like my favorite wrestler to watch is Tanahashi, because he's kind of like a mix of the old school and the new school. He still does a lot of cool moves, but his psychology in the ring and the stories that he tells are fantastic. And I really enjoy the wrestling that it's not just me saying, oh, look at this, but like following along with the story and wanting to root for somebody to win. So I think that there's a space for somebody like Jim Ross to partner with somebody who's more in tune with 2018's wrestling and kind of combine those two ideas.
Interesting. And my second question, which is in a similar vein to what I said regarding my thoughts on Crown Jewel, but my second question is, should we be happy that the Evolution pay-per-view is happening, or should we be insulted for all the women wrestlers because of the underhanded or seemingly underhanded means in which it has transpired as an event?
Let me hop in first on this one. I think personally, I always love the gif of the little girl who says, why not both? And then everyone carries her out on her shoulders, because I think it's the same thing for this.
You can be
appreciative. And this I really hit home for me when Ciara Reed, who's going to be a guest down the road once she has some time again,
mentioned that for her as a woman,
seeing an all-women's pay-per-view is something that she never thought she would see, and it was groundbreaking, and she's also very excited. But she also realizes the company that provides this experience could have done it sooner and is doing it in the shadow of one of the most repressive regimes in the world being their partner. So I think you can do both. I think you can say bravo to WWE for doing this, and also you can do more. And you can do it without having to clean the stain of what you're doing elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think a lot of times we do this in sports and wrestling and then out of sports and just everyday life where – something groundbreaking or something happens that's never happened before. The first black such and such, or the first woman such and such, or the first Hispanic such and such. And then people celebrate. And then there's always somebody who comes in and says, well, it's 2018. This should have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, et cetera. And for me, I'm always like, yes, that's true. We shouldn't be there should be nothing in 2018 where it's the first black or first woman anything. However, that doesn't mean when those things happen that it's not a big deal and that we shouldn't be excited about that and we shouldn't support that. Because guess what? If people don't watch Evolution, WWE, I mean, they have the money. They can do whatever they want, but they may not take it as serious. But if people tune in and watch that and support it, you may get two women shows a year, four women shows a year. And I don't say that in a patronizing way. I say that in a way where they should be able to get more things, or they get put higher on the card on the regular shows. Like when I watch NXT takeovers, so often the women are in the co-main event. They get treated as equal to the men for the most part, or at least based on the storyline that's going on, whichever one is hotter on the show. But they get treated that way. And even in WWE, they haven't really done that. Even a couple of shows where the women did main event, it seemed like they were just putting them in the main event. But having them get there and do well will allow them to get there more often and more often, to the point where it's not a big deal anymore. And ultimately, that's where you want to be, where when you have an all-women show, and it's just – not that it's just another show, but it's just another show. It's a show that everybody can enjoy and watch because they're treated as equals.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Evolution plays out. Well, on that note, guys, I'll let you go for this week, and Rich, I look forward to you letting me know what my next assignment will be, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we will get my next co-host appearance here squared away, where we will be discussing top wrestling venues.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Kylan. And let me see, I'm a little bit behind the music while I look.
I would say some point between
Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. So basically end of November and all of December's open. So I'll talk to you offline about that. But I will tell you that next week's show is going to be... Thank you for calling, as always, Colin. Next week's show is going to, I'm going to have a preview of Evolution rather than, you know, doing Crown Jewel. We're going to do a preview of Evolution with my main man here at the Torch. You know him as Alan 4L. I know him as Alan Cunahan, the man who was kind enough to let go the fact I said United Kingdom when I really should have said, or I said Britain when I should have said Ireland, and he let it go. So I'm forever grateful for that. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. And when we come back, because we ran a little long, I'm going to take a quick break. Brandon and I are going to keep answering some calls. We're going to talk a little bit about Big D. And, of course, we're going to talk to you as we keep on trucking here on That Deep Dive.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and Brandon. Here talking to you about Crown Jewel, Evolution, and everything in between. Give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, Brandon, before I get to the next caller, what were your thoughts on SmackDown 1000 and particularly the reuniting of Evolution?
I actually enjoy SmackDown 1000. It wasn't a lot of wrestling, but I like segments, so... And I like personalities. And here's the thing. First of all, it was funny to me because I remember Evolution being pretty much exclusively Raw. So it was funny to see them come back on the 1000 episode of SmackDown like they were SmackDown stars. However, I love Dave Bautista. I think he's kind of like in the world, entertainment world. I've been laughing at him recently because I realized when they were saying that he was like, I should be in Drax and go be Bane on James Gunn's Suicide Squad. And I'm like, Dave, come on. I like you, but this is stupid. You can't be this stupid. But in the wrestling context, I love Batista. I loved him when he was wrestling. He wasn't the greatest wrestler, but I always thought he was a good character. And I really, really loved his character right before he left the first time when he was wearing like the super tight polo shirts and being just a real like prick to everybody. And so I was hoping – I know he's been talking about wanting to come back and have a little mini run the last couple of years, and they wouldn't bring him back. And so when I saw him, I was like, oh, this might be a sign of him coming back. And although I don't want to see him wrestle Triple H per se, I would love to see him have like a nice little run from like Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, just a three-month run. And I'd like to see him do like – you remember in 2003 when The Rock came back as the Hollywood Rock, WrestleMania, I mean, like right after WrestleMania, or right up to WrestleMania, and then he had the match with Goldberg and left. Like, I would love to see Batista come back as like Hollywood Batista, and just kind of mix that character that he had before he left the first time with like this new like big star character. I just think that would be so good to see him come back and do. But when that music came, I don't know why I like that theme song so much, but I love Lion the Sand. And just to see them come out, it was really, really cool to see. I thought he went a little long in this promo, but I'm a big Batista fan, so I enjoyed that, seeing them come back a lot.
Yeah, I,
Yeah, I same boat. I enjoyed SmackDown 1000. I enjoyed Becky, as I mentioned during the East Coast cast this week. Humbling Edge, who had the audacity to tell her all these things that made me a Hall of Famer, made me less of a human after retirement. Don't follow my path. And she's, you know, when you get out of the champ's ring and be careful not to hurt your little neck and on your way out. I died. Becky Lynch being basically what Travis would joke like adult Bailey, where she'd like roll up her sleeves and have cigarettes in there and just shove kids over. Like, I'm a tough guy now. Don't. Like, Becky is owning it. And her, I mentioned it, there needs to be the super stable of her, the bar, and I don't even know, insert one more person in, because they always hang out, they're always on Instagram together, they don't smile, they just lift and focus on winning championships. And if you want to bring it, I honestly feel this to the core of my wrestling fan being, if you want to bring wrestling stabled into 2018, they need to be more similar to Sanity before they moved up, where you have men and women in the group, and it isn't just accessories either way. Like, this can't be like Terry and who was it? It was Terry and Jacqueline. They were the Pretty Mean Sisters.
Oh, you're talking about PMS?
Yeah.
It was Terry, Jacqueline, and Meat.
Yeah, so you can't have it like that, where either side, or when you had I always have a testing out for TNA. You had them come out, and Trish basically Marty turned them both into Marty Jannetty, even though Albert is now the trainer at NXT and he's awesome, and he was awesome in New Japan, so that he kind of recovered. But that was hilarious. They went from dudes who just lifted her up to kind of like, okay, I guess there's going to do something.
I thought it was funny.
Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
Big Show had his 7,000th turn in his career. I got to say this. I love the Usos. Like, I don't know what it is, but every time they come on my screen, I can't turn the channel. They're so entertaining to me. I mean, they've been doing this gimmick for a little while now, but I wish they'd been doing this the whole time. This version of the Usos is so great to me. And I love how they've, like, usually when the two big stars get together, they beat the tag team and they make the tag team look like geeks. But I love how they were like Corey Graves was like, the Usos have been one of the best tag teams in WWE history. Like, Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles have a team together. The Usos should win. And then they won. And I'm like, they never do that. So it was really good to see that.
Right. And that, I mean, like you said, the Uso Penitentiary, I get what Bruce says, because they are leaning in, and that's the thing that kind of sucks when you have an awesome thing like this, and in the back you might have some people who are like nodding for the wrong reasons to what they're saying and what they're doing. But I love the Uso. They have so much swag now. They have so much, just, you feel how much they know they're the men. And that makes it great.
Yeah, I look at that the same way I looked at the New Day for the most of it, is if you can kind of tell when people are laughing at you instead of with you. And then the other thing is, you can't control if people are going to be racist, right? So, like, if I'm the black person that's the stereotypical loud black person that they make fun of, but that's just who I am, then that's who I am, right? So if a racist person is going to laugh at me, then that person is just they were going to be racist towards me regardless of who I am. So I remember hearing the New Day go on Jericho's podcast, and they talked about how the New Day started and how Vince wanted them to be like the modern day Nation of Domination, and they did that first promo. They were all serious and stuff, but then they were like, "That's not who we are. This is who we are. We're goofballs who hang out together outside, and we're just going to bring that on the screen." So, like, when I see them do the stuff that they do, some of it can be a little cringy. But at the end of the day, I go, but that's who they are. And so when I see the Usos, outside of the show, or when I would watch Total Divas, like, that seems like much more closer to who the Usos are than what they used to be. And so whenever I can see characters be of themselves and just turn it up a little bit, I love that.
No, I completely agree. Speaking of turning it up,
I really hoped during the Evolution reunion that they would have people kind of be themselves. And the best example of that was Randy Orton being a whole piece while showing up for it. Like he, I mentioned on Twitter, and Bruce made fun of me because I wrote in all caps. Like, Randy is that cousin you don't want to come to the family reunion because he's just going to start so much crap with so many people, and just like, I just tell it how it is. I don't, if you didn't want me to say it, you shouldn't invite me.
Like, everybody's sitting around,
like, everybody's sitting around the table, you're about to, like, you know, I'm just having flashbacks to, like, somebody trying to bless the food. It's like, dear Lord, bless this woman who nobody knows, but apparently is having the baby of my cousin Bob over here. And it's like,
And that's Randy.
And then Big Dave saying, by the way, you've done a lot of things in wrestling, but the one thing you haven't done is beat me.
I was like, okay.
And he gave him that stare.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell him Rick Flair.
And tell him, I would Larry keep it in his pants. Oh, my God.
I would love to see Randy Orton be that character. Yeah. Like, just be, like, the arrogant, like, I'm John Cena was the prototype, but Randy Orton was legit, like, literally the prototype. Like, 6'5",
mm-hmm.
cut up, good looking, tattoos, athletic. Like, he is the prototype pro wrestler. Like, I would love to see Randy Orton just play that dude. Just, like, I'm the best. I know I'm the best. All you guys hate me because I'm the best. And then just go out there. Because he kind of goes through the motions. But, like, when he wants to turn it up, he is really one of the best. Like, when he wants to go out there and put on a show, he is very, very good. So I would love to see that braggadocious character by Randy Orton. I'm partial to, like, bragging heels because I just find that so entertaining. It's just any, like, in the history of wrestling, whenever they had to set a bragging, arrogant heel, it's just the best to me. That's just one of the best characters.
I'm going to take a quick time out, Brandon, because we have three calls left. And so I want to make sure we get all our breaks in so the boss man doesn't throw some things at me. So when we come back, we're going to run through these calls. We're going to finish our discussions, and we're going to join you with the latest and greatest. So bear with us here on the Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, as Steve Austin
would say, we did a little pause from the calls, and now we're going to run through some callers. Before we do that, Bram, why don't you do another push for your contact info, your show, and how folks can listen to it.
Yeah, I do a show called the Why So Serious Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify now. Just search Why So Serious Podcast. It'll come up. I do it with... he's like my brother, but he's my cousin, Devin, and one of my best friends, Mike. And we constantly have other people flow in, Danielle, Stephanie from the Mocha Minutes podcast, and a bunch of other people who roll in. Rich has been on there multiple times. Cam's going to be on here coming up soon from the East Coast cast. So check us out if you're into comic books, if you're into TV, specifically nerd TV shows, if you're into movies and you just want to hear some people who know what they're talking about a little bit, but do it with some fun and some flair. Check us out. We record every week on Thursdays, and we have random shows throughout the week covering other things as well. So just search Why So Serious Podcast, and you can follow me on Twitter at that cool black nerd, black spelled B-L-K. Mostly talking about wrestling and comic books and politics sometimes, too. So if you're into those things, follow me on Twitter and check us out on iTunes and stuff as well.
All right. Well, thank you for that, sir. And I encourage everyone to get a chance. It's a great podcast. I got to hang out for a little bit with Brandon and his cousin before the powers that be at the darn restaurant messed my whole world up. But that's neither here nor there. Are you guys going to WrestleMania in New York?
Yes.
Well, then that there we go. We'll definitely amend that because My buddy Joe, who I used to do a podcast for the Bills with and maintain a blog with him, he's going with me to the MSG show for New Japan / Ring of Honor. And yes, I said that in the right order, folks. Because they definitely are taking the driver's seat. So just tell them I took it. They basically turned into Zeus in the Dark Knight. Just tell them I took it. It's okay, dude. It's okay, Ring of Honor. It's all right. So let's go through this. I'm not going to say a lightning round, but Brandon, if at any point you know you have to bounce, let me know because it might go a little bit over the hour because I think we have three callers. Okay, cool. So let's start with 631. 631, thanks for holding. State your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the deep dive.
Hey, what's going on, Rich? What's going on, Brandon? My name is Will from New York. How you guys doing, bro?
Good, Will. Glad you were able to call.
I'm afraid for me, it's funny. I'm not usually here on Saturdays doing stuff. And I was like, I saw the tweet. I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and see what's going on. Let me call on this show, too. So if you teach it, you call in two for the kids.
So what are your thoughts?
What questions do you have for us?
Well, I have a couple. I'll go through them quickly because I don't want to take up too much time. But one of the things, Rich, I had sent you was Eric Young's Instagram post, kind of his that kind of garage style Instagram post that he did, and it kind of alludes to something I guess that happened when he was back in NXT with his first match, and I think it was with Samoa Joe, I believe or so.
Yes, it was.
It sounded like it felt like Samoa Joe was his target, and I think, you know, with Joe taking some time, you know, whatever. With the angle, I think it would be a good way to kind of bring back sanity on the SmackDown. I wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Brandon, what do you think?
I didn't see that post.
Here, I will send it to you.
I will send it to you on Twitter as well because Will sent it to me, and I got a chance to listen to it during the last break, and it's pretty good. It's I'll DM it to you as well.
All right, I'll check that out. Here.
Yeah, you know, why you kind of checking it out? Like, you know, the only reason why I kind of thought about it is because today I've been kind of looking at some old, I say old, but just watching some random matches on NXT TakeOvers. And, man, Killian Dane, to me, is so impressive. And it's a shame he's not really being seen on television. I watched the War Games match. To me, he was like one of the MVPs of that one. Even his performance in the ladder match for the North American title. He just showed so much that he had the ability to do, and it's a shame that we really haven't seen him, you know, being highlighted the way that I feel he should get some burn, you know, even if it's with just in the confines of the Sanity Group. So that's why when I kind of thought of that, I thought about that promo, and I figured I'd, you know, kind of slide it over to see if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, so while Brandon's trying to look at it,
I will say one thing about Killian Dane. I loved watching him in Progress. Him and Big Dave Mastiff were basically
the
Hoss division before they made their Atlas title for super heavyweight/heavyweight. And so Damo were now, you know, Killian Dane. I've been a big fan of his. I think he is exactly what you need in terms of the diversity of wrestling. You don't just need the muscle up dude. You need that guy that looks like Bruce would mention back in the day. You go into a bar and he's probably going to beat up two or three dudes on a tour just to prove that he's a hard man like people think he is.
Right.
Killian Dane, I think, is benefiting a lot from Rusev. Because I remember in NXT, when they had Rusev on there, and a lot of people were like, oh, here's Vince McMahon pushing another big dude that can't work. And then Rusev, like, could actually work, and then he had, like, a cool personality, and he got over with Lana. And I think his body type and him going out there and having good matches with people and cutting decent promos is helping people like Killian Dane and others. Even though Lars Sullivan's a big dude, he's not really cut up. Like, he's not, like, ripped. So, like, those big, bulky dudes who Vince likes as big dudes, but he usually likes a little bit more cosmetic big dude. Those dudes are, like, can actually work a little bit. Lars not as good as Killian, but still, like, they're able to, when they come up to the main roster, I think they're going to, well, Killian's are good, but I think they're going to have a little bit more success than they would have given the success that Rusev had.
Well, it kind of goes to my next, quick thing is that I feel like Wednesday nights now have become the you know, the nights for wrestling, you know, especially, you know, when you add in the fourth element of, you know, NXT UK, you know, who's the other dude you were talking about besides Killian? He premiered on Wednesday.
Dave Mastiff.
I was enjoying that so much, and that cannonball he gave dude in the corner.
Yes.
That kind of he jumps more than what you know Kevin Owens does, and he like his butt was like basically on the second turnbuckle. I was like, yo, he's gonna kill this dude, and it was something refreshing, kind of go along with just, you know, saying about Killian Dane. It's refreshing to see these big dudes who are athletic, you know, being a big dude myself. And I'm like, man, if I did something like that, I'd probably kill somebody. But they have the control that they have over their bodies and the control of protecting, you know, the fellow worker. It's just these guys are really, you know, amazing when it comes to how they can work, you know. And I'm really enjoying all the diversity in wrestling with the Mae Young Classic, with NXT, with 205, with UK. You know, Wednesday night feels like to me like the what Raw should be, with diversity and variety and different styles and actual good matches.
So, how excited are you for Keith Lee then?
Man, I love Keith Lee. I've seen a couple of things. I'm not a huge independent person. I haven't really watched too many independent shows, but I've seen a lot of stuff on like YouTube or whatever of Keith Lee. So I really enjoyed this. Like he has charisma. When I think the other guys are more, you know, real powerful and strong, he has that, but he has that kind of devious smile and charm of like playing along with the crowd, but you know he can kick your tail, you know. So I really respect his game too.
Oh, go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, Rich. I was gonna say whenever I see Keith Lee, I see the pro wrestling version of Jerome Bettis. That's who he reminds me of.
Yo, you are right. Big old dancing bear that can just do what he wants. Like, a man that big shouldn't be moving this fast, shouldn't be this agile.
Yeah. And I'm one of those people just kind of, you know, that root for him and you know, and just want to see him do some big things, you know, there on NXT.
Now, one of the things I'm going to do in January, I did it last year with I had to put him on the spot. I did it last year with Mike Sempervivi, and I think I want to do it with – I want to do like a round table with Brandon in either D-Palm or Cam or Travis, and I want to do it on what's something you want to see in the next year. And for me, 2019, like I said, that this was kind of the setup year for – how awesome people were gonna think Adam Page was, like going into like next year's G1 if he's still there. I think this year is gonna be the year that when people look back and they see his variety of matches, that's gonna be the evidence or the resume that Triple H uses to make Keith Lee a WWE World Champion. Because he, like you said, it's the charisma. You give that dude the title.
You have that dude
go up against a Roman Reigns or an AJ Styles or my guy, who I think really is going to be I am absolutely in love with Matt Riddle. He's been one of my favorite wrestlers since the moment I saw him, and that was like a year into wrestling. And him and Keith Lee had had outstanding matches. Him and Drew Galloway, outstanding matches.
I think when they finally make that switch
and they bring Keith Lee to the main roster, he is just going to be outstanding. Because he can do everything you want. He can talk.
And he's got that, like...
You know how Dolph Ziggler tried to steal the Shawn Michaels? I'm going to talk like I'm chewing gum, and I might not actually be chewing gum. Keith Lee does it, and he does it, and you believe it.
That grin he has on his face, though, like when he's like... When the crowd is like singing his praises, he closes his eyes, soaks it up. I mean, he literally wants to bask in his own greatness, and he invites you to do so in a way that is so infectious. You know, it's just, I mean, you can't help. One of the things I told my wife, I was like, listen, if there's one thing that we can do before, you know, the end of 2019, and hopefully maybe he's still there, I would like to go to Full Sail and be at a live like NXT taping, just so I could be a part of something like that. Because it felt like something that was so organic yet so familiar, you know, and just the way those guys kind of interact, especially like I said, Keith Lee, you know, interact with the crowd. I think it's, you know, it's hilarious, you know, and just.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, one of the best things for me watching Keith is when people chant, "Oh, bask in his glory," like the Seven Nation Army song. And at the Independent Shows, and I see them do it at NXT, the first thing that came into my head is like, I can't wait for him to be in a big arena. And Vince McMahon sitting in Gorilla, seeing him, just like when AJ came out third at the Rumble. And everybody was like, and then Phenomenal came on the screen, and it just exploded.
Same thing for him.
Same thing for him. Absolute same thing for Keith Lee, in my opinion.
Well, switching gears just real quick, I got just two more things, you know, before I can hop off and you guys can do the show. One of the things I remember from Cam's poll on, you know, on the East Coast cast was talking about Big Show, you know, how many times he's turned as compared to the other characters. And I feel like he left out a poll option. Because I was really trying to figure out, and I know there's probably some site somewhere for it that keeps track of it or whatever, but trying to figure out who had the most heel face turns, Big Show or Kane? Because I feel like Kane is right there with him. How many times he's either been cheered, then booed the next week, then cheered, booed, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, that's a good question.
I think
that's a great question.
And Brandon is also a listener of the Wrestling Observer. I believe Brian Alvarez has been keeping track of that, and from last he checked, it's
Show has the lead.
Show has the lead, and Show has 27 turns in his career.
That's ridiculous.
And the funny thing is,
and the funny thing
WWE?
Is, like,
That's entire career.
Because remember, he did those in WCW too.
He had
23 turns before he got hurt, like before he left and lost all the weight. So he's had four turns in like the seven appearances he's made since.
Oh my gosh. Oh man, I'm watching right now currently Adam Cole and Ricochet from TakeOver Brooklyn, which I was there and I thoroughly enjoyed that live. And I hadn't watched any of the TakeOver matches, you know, since. And like watching this match was just incredible. But the last thing before I get on out is the network. How likely is it, and I don't know if anybody knows or whatever, but I kind of look forward to seeing more, maybe like, I don't want to say sitcoms, but more like, you know, just like television shows on the network. And one of the things I was thinking about was, what's the likelihood of them introducing like a Broken Universe, like monthly or whatever, biweekly, whatever show, just checking in with like the Broken Universe?
That's interesting.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
It's pretty cheap.
Because it's pretty cheap. It's not like you'd have to
pay a lot of money for that.
Is it Jeremy Borash there now too?
Yeah.
That would be. I would check that out. I don't really watch those other shows on there that much. I think I watched when the network first came on. I watched those countdown shows because I'm just a sucker for countdown shows. I don't know why. And then I watched a couple Table for Threes and then some of the documentaries. But the rest of those shows I never really watched. But I would watch that.
Because, like, I mean, I actually personally like the ride-along shows. I think they're kind of funny just to see something different, you know, just riding from town to town, you know. And you could tell some of it might be a little bit produced, you know, the other of it might be more natural or whatever. But, like, I like that show. I like those storytellers or whatever, story time or whatever. Like, some kind of show with the Broken Universe, you know, let Matt just, like, you know, just say, a ridiculous things. Let his kids, you know, be on there and, you know, Senior Benjamin and just some random, you know, guests just pop in, you know. I think it'd be like AJ Styles just stumble on his property, like, where am I? You know, and Matt Hardy's wonderful in the background, just something stupid, you know.
That is really good.
The more you talk about it, it makes me think of that being their version of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where storylines can kind of pass through, but they never have to stay, and they can take a weird turn, and they never hit television, so it's not like, unless you're watching, you would know.
Right. That'd be great.
Hold on, Rich, I had no idea you watched Curb.
Oh, I love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, like, gosh. We got to have a whole episode about that on my show. That's like my favorite show.
I had a run-in comment about like when he met the vet that wanted him to say thank you for your service, and he wouldn't say it, and the guy kept getting upset. Like that broke me. That really, like, I was crying.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I have to admit that last year I basically binged the whole series. When it came out, like, that new season, that was the first time I actually watched it. So I actually started from the beginning and binged the whole, like, series. I was like, why did I miss this? Why? Why did I miss
this? Oh, yeah. That show's so good.
Well, fellas, I appreciate your time, you know, going over some of the little talking points I had. But you guys have a great show. And Rich Springer, you guys have a good one, man.
Thank you.
And don't be a stranger if you ever get a chance on Saturdays. Or if you don't have time on Saturdays, shoot an email, pwtdive@gmail.com, and we can answer it. And that way you kind of have, like, customer service out the wazoo. So let's see. We got two more calls. I got to get to this call because this is I want to make sure 27 or is it 28 years now? Torch VIP and senior Torch member, Brian Austin.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Brandon. Hopefully, you both have a real good weekend, and it's 27. It'll be 28 in February.
Boom.
Hey, Brandon. First of all, it's good to talk to you. I've never talked to you before, but I really like – I always like intelligent talking. Looks like you're bringing it. It looks like you're always bringing it. Just looking at your Twitter profile, too.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Hey, so really quick, I'm going to make this quick because I don't want either one of your better halves to be yelling at you or walking by the room wondering why, okay, he's still on this podcast, what's up with that? So I'll make it quick. First thing, according to Wrestling Forum, that Big Show's turned 33 times. And out of those 33 times, 26 was in WWE. There were six in WCW, and then 27 then would be in WWE.
So that's it. It's 27 in WWE. Holy crap.
I think that record's...
Like, listen, the six in WCW were crazy because people were like, you shouldn't be turning them that much there.
Homeboy went and just jumped
on it.
He was only in WCW 4 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, according to this, he debuted as a heel in 1995 in WCW. And when he left roughly in 1999 is when he left, and he pretty much was turned right around right before he left, of course. Babyface.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do a non-wrestling question first, and end with a wrestling question. The non-wrestling question. So I heard the name of your podcast, Brandon. Why so serious? And of course, that invokes the Joker. So my question for you, both of you, of course, is that. The Joker now seems going to be an iconic person that an actor can play. You know, Jack Nicholson took it to a real high point in the first Batman. Then we have Heath Ledger, rest in peace, who died, maybe researching for the role. Jared Leto played him in Suicide Squad. And then what is it, Joaquin Phoenix, I think, is going to play him coming up soon. So given the way you name your podcast, of course, what do you think about this trajectory? It's easy Friday, easy Saturday afternoon. Sorry, about this character being, laughing character, yeah, but being pure evil. So, if you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Joker is one of the best characters. He's one of the best characters in fiction. He's been around for a long time, like 60 years, many different incarnations, at least in the comic books, and then portrayed in the movies. Everybody loves Heath Ledger's Joker. Most people love Jack Nicholson's Joker. A lot of people didn't like Leto's Joker. But seeing the Joker is just an interesting character because he's the man of mystery. I don't want to go into rant, but I talk about this on my show a lot. The idea of doing a Joker origin story is just ridiculous to me because the whole aura of the character is that you don't know his background. Is that he doesn't even know his background because he's so crazy. They tell a different story every time somebody asks him about his history. And so the idea that they're going to do a movie that basically tells the real story of the Joker kind of hurts the aura of the character to me a little bit. But I like Joaquin Phoenix a lot. And from what I've seen from the set photos and reading about it, I mean, they have a good cast. So I saw Robert De Niro is supposed to be in the movie. Zazie Beetz is supposed to be in the movie. Martin Scorsese is a producer in the film. So DC does this thing where they get a bunch of names and to get you excited about the film, and then they ultimately disappoint you. So I don't get too excited. But the Joker as a character is, to me, one of the best heels in fiction. And I don't think there's any way for him to turn babyface.
I agree. Rich, you have anything about it?
No, I think you guys nailed it. If anything, I was losing my mind as you guys were talking because you hit the point. But on Twitter,
Chelsea Green
has joined NXT. And so she put up a picture of herself and said, who wants to see the hot mess? And then it's the emoji of lipstick. She's about to take over NXT. And then her first date, Coco and Largo, Florida. But it's a picture of her, and I retweeted it so everyone could see it. And she is similar to one of my other favorite Batman villains in the Rogue Gallery, Two-Face, because her hot mess Laurel Van Ness character, like one side of it is a wedding outfit where she has a smeared lipstick and mascara is running, and then the other side is Chelsea Green, where it's green and then clean makeup and clean, you know, like everything looks perfect. And so I love the idea of bringing those sorts of characters to wrestling because you can turn them in a way that you couldn't do in comic books. Like Brandon said, I could never see a face Joker. And also for me as an old head, well, not that old, but I'm older. I will always add Cesar Romero to that list.
Oh, yes.
Because him and then Frank Gorshin with the Riddler. I think Frank Gorshin was basically Cody's inspiration for Stardust. Because if you watch the old Batman 60s show and you watch Frank Gorshin and then you watch Cody as Stardust, it's the same person.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I didn't want to necessarily leave out Cesar Romero because I grew up watching that Batman. Those reruns came on every day. I didn't want to leave him out, but I'm just talking about the big screen version. But yeah,
I appreciate
you. Hey, so let's go ahead and talk about my wrestling. I'll get off the phone and let the last person come on. So New Day, speaking about SmackDown 1000, lost the tag team championship or SmackDown tag team championships. What would you two do with New Day from now? I don't ever want to see them break up. You know, they can have like, hey, they go do their own thing, but still remain friends. So I don't ever, that's my take. Never want to see them break up. But what would you do with New Day? And Rich, I'll hang on. Brandon, followed you on Twitter so you can see me around. And hopefully you both have a real good weekend. I'll hang on and listen. Thanks a lot, as always, Rich.
Oh, no problem. And thank you for calling, as always. For me,
thank you.
I would have them, like you said, I would have them stay together. But I think it's time for one Big E to get a bigger push, either U.S. or going for the SmackDown heavyweight title. That match with Daniel Bryan, I think a few months ago, opened some people's eyes that the big man can go, and I think that'd be a great way to reinforce it. I think Kofi needs to get one last feud in with Randy Orton, and he needs to go over. That's a body that needs to get dug up and reburied, so to speak, to kind of make it go to peace, because I will never ever look at Kofi Kingston without thinking about the fact that Randy Orton took that moment from him.
Yes.
And with Xavier, I think Xavier, if they wanted to get behind him, I'd say let him be Intercontinental Champion. So finally he could give Miz back his Intercontinental title because he would have his own. But that's because I'm a belt nerd. Worst case, if you're going to stay on the same brand, I would want him to win the 205 Live.
I went to see the New Day. As much as I enjoy the New Day, I love the New Day. I want to see them stay together, but I want to see them turn heel, but like really turn heel, like turn on the people if they start to have some back. Because a few, like a while ago, right before they went to SmackDown, the people started turning on them a little bit. And so I was hoping that the New Day would take that and internalize it and become a little bit of a heel. But I want to see that happen and see Big E get a main event push. Because I remember when Big E first came in, when he was with AJ and CM Punk, right? Wasn't it with CM Punk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was with AJ and CM Punk, and he was like this big, menacing dude, and that was just pummeling John Cena and stuff. And so I would love, not necessarily see him get the belt, although I wouldn't mind that, because, you know, anybody gets the belt now. But just to see him being a high-profile match. Like, if I can get two pay-per-view main events with him and AJ Styles or, you know, something like that, I would love that. When Brock Lesnar was still here, I really wanted to see Big E versus Brock Lesnar because I just love seeing two big dudes pound each other. And I think that would have been believable, seeing Big E wrestle him. So I would love to see that. And then I didn't even think about the thing with Kofi and Randy Orton, but that would be great poetic justice for that to come all the way back around. So I would definitely like to see that too.
Yeah, because I would love to have him
sit down. Because he did a joke about it when they did that time travel skit. But I really would want him to speak to Randy in 2018 or 2019, whenever they did it, and really get that out. Because if you're going to do it with Ronda and the Bellas, and you're going to do it with Daniel Bryan and Miz, that's something that you took from me.
Something that
I can't get back. But you know what? I can take it out on you tonight.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And as far as Xavier, I really enjoy Xavier. I think he's turned it up a lot. I liked him all the way back to Consequences Creed, only because I thought the character was hilarious.
Yes.
And so I can see him doing things.
If he teamed up with R-Truth for one night and they made like an allusion to that, that's all I need.
I find Truth TV to be hilarious. I know some people didn't like it.
I thought it
was hilarious because I just like a lot. Here's the thing. A lot of things, like Bruce talked about this before, but R-Truth was the guy that I always felt like it was the racist character. Like, I would always look at R-Truth and be like, this is the racist character. Like, not so much the New Day or the Usos, but the R-Truth character is the racist character. But recently, he hasn't been the racist character. He's just been like the funny old man character, which I can get behind. And I actually like him playing that character a lot. And by the way, that dude does not look like however old he is.
I don't know what kind of special
serum he be drinking, but I need that so I can look like that when I get his age. Because that dude looks.
Listen, R-Truth is a confirmed Highlander. That's all I know.
Yes. He also's got. I also like him and Carmella's chemistry a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that segment, they should have that segment much more often going forward.
And I don't want to get into the foreign person does dumb things.
But that would be a great opportunity to debut another wrestler into their show as either a co-host or an assistant. And I was thinking about on the NXT roster. Kona Reeves.
Oh yeah,
He would be a perfect dumb assistant, like a Kenneth from 30 Rock for them.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I had a question for you before I forget it about NXT because I try to watch NXT as much as I can, but I don't see it that often. I probably see one episode a month, and I watch all the takeovers, but I usually only get to one episode a month. How is my girl? Because I hear you and Travis talk about her a lot. Oh my gosh! Now I just had a brain freeze. She was a track star. Bianca Belair. How's Bianca Belair and her husband doing? Because I saw her husband's in that tag team, the Street Profits. How are they doing?
Yeah.
Street Profits are all right.
They're kind of in a feud with the Mighty. It's there. But Street Profits are over. People come out, they got their cups, they're dancing. But Bianca Belair is going to be a superstar. I can't.
That's one of those Bailey level things.
Like, if they screw up Bianca Belair, you have failed yourself and that young woman. Because she comes out and every week she gets more swag. Every week she gets more confidence. Her promos are on fire. She does everything right. Her level of projected experience is astronomical.
She's great.
She's got so much charisma to me.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, she's wonderful. And I think her on the main roster, especially women of color, I don't want to bring women in general down like this, but she's what they wanted Sasha to be. But they would never let her do it, and her Boston accent would never let her get all the way with it.
Yes.
Because that's the thing with Sasha.
Because that's the thing with Sasha. Like, people, you know, they were easy to say Sasha's ratchet because she's black. But then when her Boston accent would come out, people would be like, hey, you're not too hard. When you see Bianca talk or you hear Bianca talk, mm-mm. That woman's going to mess you up.
And I also think they went too far with Sasha.
Yes.
In the sense that, like nobody wears those, like, a boss hand knuckles or, like, all that stuff. But also, they keep trying to make Sasha a babyface, and I'm like, I like Sasha. I'm going to cheer for Sasha regardless. But Sasha's character should be a heel. There's no way that character's a babyface. And they keep making her a babyface. But every time I see Bianca Belair, she jumps off the screen at me. And the last time I saw her was when she had that pull-apart brawl with that backstage brawl with what's her name? Kind of just slipping my mind. But whenever I see them have a backstage brawl and it's good, I'm like, okay, I can get with that because those things, if you make it for, especially for the women's roster, to have a good physical backstage brawl is always like really good to me.
Oh, yeah, I agree completely. Now, before we get out of here, I got a few minutes left. I want to get Darrell on because he's been holding for a while. D, welcome back to the deep dive. Jump on in, my man.
How's it going, Rich and Brandon? How y'all doing today?
Good. What's up, man?
Good. Not much. Enjoying the conversation that y'all been having today about everything. So, hey, that made a highlight of my day.
Appreciate it.
One question I give to you guys, I haven't heard how you guys would say your enthusiasm for Evolution is, since we only have probably, what, one more week before the pay-per-view?
I'll take it, Rich.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm excited, not just because of the first women's pay-per-view, but also I enjoyed that Ronda segment on Monday. I thought there were some interesting parts of that segment, and I thought that some of it was false in what she was saying. But I like the intensity, and I like how they're trying to make that match bigger. So you want to see Ronda get to the Bellas. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the NXT Championship match on the show and the Mae Young Classic Finals. So I think there should be some good wrestling on the show, and you could have a big wrestling showcase for the women and still have the personalities and all that to show that, you know, the women have all the different acts just like the men. You got the workers, you got the exciting people who do the crazy stuff, you got the good talkers, you got the personalities, you got the big movie stars or TV stars and the fellas, and you can bring all that into one show. I'm super excited. Although I don't think the build has been as good as it should be, but I'm excited for the show nonetheless.
And for me,
I'm at medium. Like next week, I'm going to cover it with Alan 4L as far as the preview. And I'm excited because the history of it for WWE. Obviously, we know there's tons of women's only pay-per-views elsewhere, women's only shows elsewhere. I'm a little disappointed that they are, as Wade and Jason Powell mentioned, when they did their Wednesday show on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, how silly it is, it's this obvious that they're using it to cover up for Saudi Arabia. Like, okay, we're going to go to Saudi Arabia, but look, we gave all the women a show.
It's blatantly obvious. And it's clear why they put it in this month is because of that. And so it doesn't take away from it, but it makes the company just look that much worse to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Will's actually going to Evolution. He just tweeted, so that's cool. Oh, I'm sorry, D, I'm taking away from your time. Go for it.
Oh, no, I was just saying same here also. And I was
90
you guys
seconds
about the wrestlers and how much money they make and the percentage that they take from the whole thing. When you talk about percentage share, the percentage that they take is similar to percentage that musicians take from the whole music industry. A small fraction, where it's $1 billion made. It's $1 billion made in music, but they don't get nothing but a very, very small percentage of it. That's why you see
60 seconds.
There's a billionaire made from music. So
that's a great point.
My take is, and I'm just coming from a different way. I understand fans would like to see the wrestlers paid, but would they like the control that the wrestlers would have? Unlike, just like y'all were speaking on basketball, but basketball players sit out whenever they feel like it and stuff like that. And we as wrestling fans know how some wrestling fans start going to the extreme, especially when they buy a ticket and their favorite wrestler don't show up for TV and they want to go at them all crazy because they didn't show up or they don't show up for this house show. So do you think wrestling fans can accept what they asking for? Because they want them to make more money and have more control, but would they
10
when
seconds
more control? And let's say wrestler A don't want to do all the house shows, only want to do special house shows and stuff like that, but he's being promoted for every house show or every other house show. And maybe one day he's like, man, I got an injury. I want to sit out this house show. Do you think fans can accept that, knowing how wrestling fans are today?
I definitely do. And, D, I'm going to have to let you go because we are now
overtime.
So I don't know when they're going to cut us off. So in the interest of safety, I'm going to say some wrestling fans will. And you know, D, you know, just like it is with comic books and anything else in entertainment, you're always going to have that person that wants people to shut up and dribble, shut up and arm drag, shut up and snap, drop, do a toe hold, turn around, tip up. You know, you're going to have those idiots, and you just have to tune them out. I think for me, if there is enough people booing like they did on Tuesday whenever someone mentioned Saudi Arabia, if there's enough people that don't watch the show, obviously we know they're going to make the money regardless. But if there are enough smart people like Mookie Ghana, Brandon Thurston Howard, Wade, Bruce, and all these other people that can get on the stockholder press conferences and ask those tough questions and force Wall Street, force investors to face what they're doing, it puts them in a position to have more power.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Don't want to go too long, but you don't make the rules for those people, right? The rules shouldn't be, well, will fans go fans? Because fans are always going to go fans. They do it in every sport. They complain about every – like fans, that's just what they do. They think the players are spoiled and they think they're pampered millionaires while supporting the rich billionaires. That's just what happens. And unfortunately, in wrestling, that would happen too. But at the end of the day, they should make these rules for that's fair to their workers and their employment base. And what they're getting paid now is not commensurate with other people on their level in other sports, quote unquote. So the music industry is a good example that Darrell brought up because the music industry has been trashed. And a lot of people know that it's trash and know that it's been unfair to the artists. So that is a very poignant point, but that shouldn't be a reason why you shouldn't do it. You should do it because it's the right thing to do. And you're still going to make money. Like, it's not like WWE is going to be strapped for cash. They won't be able to run shows anymore. They'll be just fine. And you may get even better performances out of your performers because they're getting compensated as they should.
Yeah, I agree completely. Brandon, thank you for going 92 minutes. Not since Ric Flair in the 92 Rumble has someone been this dedicated to the world of professional wrestling. My friend, it's been a pleasure. One more time, can you let folks know where to find you, where to find the show? And I look forward to talking with you in the future.
Yeah, anytime. I definitely got to get you back on the show soon. But you can find us it's the Why So Serious podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast app. Subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star review. It helps us out a lot. If you're into comic books, movies, TV shows, you'll like us. Give us a try, and hopefully we won't disappoint. And you can follow me on Twitter at That Cool Black Nerd, BLK, in black, spelled black. And thanks again for having me, Rich. I love coming on here. I don't get to talk wrestling as much because Mike on our show don't watch wrestling, and Devin only watches it intermittently, even though he grew up a big wrestling fan. So I love any time I can come on here and talk wrestling.
Well, like I said, I'll definitely have
Well, like I said, I'll definitely have you back on in January, and we can talk about like what you think about the future of 19 wrestling, 20 wrestling, etc.
Folks,
it's been a pleasure. We went full. We went overtime. So before I get out of here, like I said, next week Alan Cunahan's going to join me to preview Evolution. But listen to the Bane Man, Wade Keller himself, describe why you should be a VIP. And as a, not only am I a contributor, employee of PW Torch, I'm also a VIP member. So in addition to all the shows you get commercial free, like anything on the live cast, you also get Bruce Mitchell audio and more. So stay tuned. I love you all. Challenge you to go beyond, go plus ultra, dive into something new, challenge yourself, and surprise yourself with how well you do.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Live!